Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's vanta.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the 18. That makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to our free audience here to Rewind a Raw. My name is Wei Ting here, and I'm joined on this very special edition of the show with Davey Portman. How you doing, Davey Portman?
I'm great. How are you, Wei?
Good, good. We just talked for about half an hour about a number of news stories in the XL edition in the Post Wrestling Cafe, talking about Linda McMahon being confirmed as U.S. Education Secretary. Ray Phoenix spending a lot of time talking about him now possibly being a free agent, according to a PW Insider. When will he debut? How should he debut? Listen to Davey Portman's thoughts on that. Homicide announcing his retirement match. Tam Nakano facing Saya Kamentani in a career versus career match. And also upcoming previews for NXT and Dynamite. Just a bit of housekeeping before we get over to our review of the show itself, because I want to talk to Davey about his experience at Elimination Chamber. But just to let everybody know, currently on the website right now, we have Karen Peterson's interview with two of the stars of Queen of the Ring, Kaylee Latimer, who wrestling fans will know as Camille, and Damaris Davis. They played June Byers and Babe Wingo, Babs Wingo. Babs Wingo, respectively. This is an interview that's out on the free feed, about 20 minutes. Karen does a great job. It's also on our YouTube channel. She and Kate from Montreal will have a review of Queen of the Ring this Thursday in the Post Wrestling Cafe. On Rewind Away, coming out tomorrow, I just recorded this afternoon a very special edition of the show. Davey, have you seen the movie Dune?
I have not seen Dune, no. I've tried a couple of times.
Okay, I don't blame you. It's a very daunting movie. It's 2.5 hours. And
I really want to watch it. I've tried a few times and fallen asleep a few times as well. But mate,
I totally understand. Because
it's a lot of sand and a lot of talking. Yeah,
it's very it's a deep world. Okay, and I think to navigate that deep world, you kind of need a guide, and that's who W.H. Park is. Hopefully for a lot of us, because he happens to be a massive Dune fan. Somebody who owns 20.
W.H. Park is a Dune fan. I am shocked. I'm shocked.
Somebody who happens to own 21 different copies of Dune in various languages, the book I'm talking about. So I'm more so looking forward to this, to talk about this movie, just to kind of like pick at WH for his knowledge, and also just to kind of like talk to him about his particular fandom. This is a pick for Rewind Away by Robert Holzhammer, So I'm looking forward to talking about that. Of course, Big Dave Bautista also appearing in this show as well, in this movie. That'll be released tomorrow on the Post Wrestling Cafe feed. WH will also return this Thursday with Rich Van to begin our Daredevil Born Again reviews, the first episode of which will be free on Thursday. So the series premieres tomorrow night, I believe, on Disney Plus. So watch it and join us Thursday on the free Post Wrestling feed for Rich Van and WH Parks review, which will be weekly from this point on. On to some WWE talk, Davey. Of course, you and Braden Harrington attended Elimination Chamber last night in Toronto. Not only that, you guys hosted what I'm assuming is maybe one of the, if not the, pre-party for the event in the lock-in at Gabby's.
Yeah, I am so proud and happy with how this last weekend went. Gabby's is the bar I work at, so I'm very lucky. It's right around the corner from the Rogers Center. It made perfect sense for us to do an event there. Let's get WrestleNomics right now. We sold more on Saturday than we would on a summer's day with a full patio and busy. Like, it was packed. Like, we were absolutely packed. We had so much fun. We had our good friend Ivan Rivers, the folk icon. Go and search for him on Spotify, Apple, wherever you find your music. He was doing wrestling covers all day, and it was such a great time. We had such a fun time, and then went on down to Rogers Center for Elimination Chamber. And I was very close to going to WrestleMania this year. I had my hotel booked. I canceled it a couple of weeks ago. And honestly, this last weekend with, you know, the event Braden and I put on at Gabby's, to meeting all you guys who came along to the lock-in, to going to Rogers Center and seeing a really monumental event. Like, let's be real. We're all wrestling fans here. John Cena turned heel on Saturday. I have no regrets of not going to WrestleMania this year. Like, I felt like we had our WrestleMania. I thought the crowd were electric. I thought having that paired with Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in Canada in a stadium was incredible. And I just had, I've been buzzing. I'm so exhausted from this weekend, but I've been buzzing, and it's not just from the lock-in, and it's not just from the partying. It was from the show WWE put on. As a wrestling fan, and not just someone who comes and talks about it and criticizes it on a weekly basis, but as a fan, and that's deep down what we all are, man, I had such a good time. It felt special this weekend.
Davey and Braden recorded like a live reaction as they were walking out of the Rogers Center. That's about 20 minutes long that I urge everybody to go and listen to right now at on the Poison Rana podcast feed. It is exactly that. It sounded like two people recording at the end of a very long day, maybe if a couple of drinks, and having just the time of their lives. It was infectious. So I'm happy for you. In fact, I'm even like kind of jealous that I didn't really get to experience that live myself. And I'm somebody who just like, I don't really crave the live experience that much anymore, but you can now say that you were there for one of the big moments, certainly in Toronto wrestling history, if not WWE wrestling history, at least in the modern era.
I can't believe that I've been a fan since what, 1998, 99. I've never owned a John Cena shirt. This weekend I bought two, and he turns his back
and he's
on
wearing
me.
One of them right now, everybody. What's the other one that you bought?
I got the red one. I bought it as a prize, and now I think I might just keep it, because who knows when he's wearing the bright shirts and the jorts again.
He made your wish.
I think WWE create, like, it's cliche at this point, but they create moments. They're not about necessarily the matches, they're about moments. And they've crafted some of these big pay-per-views, last year's WrestleMania being a good example of that. We had it to an extent with SummerSlam last year as well. But this pay-per-view, you had, you know, Jade in the women's match coming back. And I thought that was done. And I haven't been a huge fan of that story, because it's been a little meandering. But the visual of Jade attacking Naomi with Bianca trapped – and crying and not being able to do anything about it. That was such a great way to start the show. You obviously had just the incredible Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match. And I think just any fan of wrestling, any fan of these guys, I know the Grapple Lads recently did a retrospective of all their matches of the past. And you watch that match and there are so many callbacks. I thought down to just the lighting, I really loved that the blackout lighting for it. There were moments at the lock-in I put on WrestleMania 17, and we're watching that, and there's Triple H versus The Undertaker from 17, which is a great match, great and maybe match. A forgotten match between the two compared to the later ones. There were so many shots that were reminiscent of that, where they're walking through like the aisles with the equipment cases around them and stuff that were reminiscent of that. And it felt very Attitude Era in such a great way. It wasn't about the pizzazz that WWE has these days. It's just the focus on these two wrestlers killing each other. Mm. I thought that was incredibly special. Randy Orton coming out. And then just the men's chamber as a whole just felt so special. I know you commented on it with your review with Nate, but we don't know if we'll have that moment again between CM Punk and Cena. You know,
not this way, not the same.
Not this way, not necessarily. So being able to have that, it's we can achieve that in a chamber match. You can achieve moments like that in a Rumble or a Survivor Series, and that might be it. And then the turn at the end, I thought it was just such a well-booked show, and just was kind of, if it was a concert, it was like playing your hits every other song, there's another one of your big songs coming up. It felt like that, and was just so crowd pleasing with also, I don't think anyone came out feeling robbed. And I know a lot of people, and we were talking to a lot of people, it's the price point. And I wish someone said this at the press conference. I wish someone just went, hey, last time you were in this venue, you sold 68,000 tickets. This time you sold 38,000 tickets. Do you think you're alienating some of your audience by setting it at this price? Because everyone at our event, like I'd say half of them were like, I'm just waiting to see what happens. I get it. They broke a gate. They don't care. But our original seats, there was a whole lot of empty floor space there where they could have built a stage, they could have put seats, and you just go, you could have filled this place. And maybe they didn't want 68,000 people booing the U.S. national anthem. Maybe that was it. But
or maybe didn't they want? Maybe they did want it.
Maybe they did. Maybe? I mean, I don't know why you'd start the show with that.
To that question, I feel like they must at this point have an established price point in their mind for these sort of events. But I also think that like what would get them to lower the price is if there's a sort of cross section between where lowering the amount gets them a higher total gate. And maybe they don't have the appropriate calculations to get there, but I can't see them lowering these ticket prices at any point. Like the whole game right now seems to be valuing our properties to a much higher level than what they've traditionally been. They don't want WWE to be the, hey, like show up at, for $10 and bring your whole family type of event. They want it to be like F1. They want it to be a place where only celebrities or rich people can go to, I'm sure we'll get more of your thoughts on Up Next tomorrow. Again, listen to that Poison Rana Pod live reaction podcast. And I'm looking forward to maybe talking about some of the directions of some of the storylines coming off of Elimination Chamber as we go through tonight's edition of WWE Raw from the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. Nearly 14,000 tickets out, a sellout in the KeyBank Arena in Buffalo. We start things off with an Elimination Chamber recap, and I love this because the moment, obviously, that they were building up to showing here was Cena's turn, but they did not give it to you in this opening segment. They, rather than showing the actual actions here, replaying it, they cut to a collage of headlines and reaction shots and basically just kind of like tease you with it, not just in this opening segment, but throughout the entire show. Coming back from commercial break, they would show more and more online reactions. At one point, they showed international language commentary for that particular moment, building up to the 10 o'clock top of the hour where they actually showed you a recap of the actual event. So what did you think about that presentation alone?
I thought it was great. This whole Cena turn has been memed to death, and to the point where I know so many people, and this only happens Saturday night, I have so many people asking me what it is, because they've seen, you know, the one is the Squid Game. It's like the before and after with him happy, him mean. It's been memed so much that I think doing the headlines and showing how it's broken through like the wrestling zeitgeist to, like, you know, just, yeah, there we go. But yeah, I think this was smart. I think building it up throughout the night, having the reactions throughout the night, it's a big deal, and making it seem like a monumental thing and showing the headlines and things just makes it feel bigger and bigger. And also teasing anyone who maybe, if anyone hasn't seen it, I mean, this is all on Netflix, I imagine most people have, but teasing you before seeing it again, I thought it was smart.
Whether or not you've actually seen the moment, I imagine most people watching already did, at least it builds up the grandeur of the moment in your mind to something that feels even more important than it actually was. And that is really the art of promotion, is it not?
I had colleagues today ask me what it means to turn heel. Wow. You know, because they've read articles saying John Cena turned heel, and they're like, what does that mean? And I'm explaining that to them. You see, it's gone beyond just like our wrestling world. It's a big thing. John Cena, everyone knows John Cena at this point, and it was a big thing. And playing on that in a sort of wider pop culture sense, I thought was smart.
And when you really think about it, like, that's exactly what that moment was designed to do, was to get people who don't normally watch wrestling to talk about it. Thus, I mean, pairing the two biggest stars in the industry together in one scene, in one team, not to mention Cody, and not to mention Travis Scott, who for no other reason was there just to maybe catch that many more eyeballs, potentially. So we start things off, and there are a lot of people with thoughts on that particular moment, including CM Punk, who starts things off pissed off. He pulls up in his truck, heads right to the announce desk, grabs the microphone, stands on top of it, and starts addressing his enemies. He says, since his name is CM Punk, that means everybody. So he asks the crowd who he should start off with tonight. Somebody chants The Rock. So Punk cuts a promo on Dwayne, calling him a bald fraud, says he's not immune from criticism. He came back and earned his opportunity, and Mr. Midlife Crisis just comes in and thinks he's above everybody. He mocks his goosebumps motion that Dwayne always does and says he's just pretending to care about this business. He would love to say it to his face, but Dwayne is never here. He's never been so desperate to hold a fake people's title because he deserves it. He earns it. He's never been desperate to sell his soul. And he starts talking about John Cena. You can't see me. Now we can all see through you. He says Cena stole something from him in the chamber. Hustle, loyalty, respect. And now everyone sees what he's seen all along, and that Cena has been selling these people and these kids bullshit. Punk says Punk never gave up, but Mr. Never Give Up gave up on himself, and he gave up on those kids. He's going to get his hands on both of these bald frauds, and when he does, he's going to make a wish that they're going to make a wish that he never did. I screwed up the line. He did way better than me. He then talks about Seth Rollins. He says, Becky, you better come get your man because I'm going to put him into a wheelchair. Out comes Seth Rollins to cut him off, and they immediately brawl on the ramp as all the agents and security come in, creating a big pull apart to close this opening segment. Your thoughts on this entire, what felt like, what, 15 minutes about opening segment, Davey?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is exactly what you want from CM Punk. If he's not wrestling, you want him on a mic. You want him cutting everyone down. I think there have been times in his WWE run so far where he's, you know, CM Punk on the mic at 50% is still better than a lot of people. But I think this is what you really want. You want him pissed off. You want him angry. And also feeling, like, I got the sense of him feeling, you know, when you feel stupid for believing in someone and they let you down. And this is what I got, because he's been defending Punk. It's like he's been defending Cena. He's been saying, you know what, John Cena has earned the right to call his shot and just put himself in the chamber match, because he's been the guy for years. He's been doing these Make-A-Wish for the years and all that. And to then feel let down by him.
Not to mention the warm and fuzzy moment he shared with Cena in the ring last night.
Yeah. Exactly.
2 days ago. Sorry, I keep saying last night.
You also had him like destroying the Prime bottle set as well to continue the Logan Paul thing as well. I think this is the best Punk when he just hates everyone. He's shooting on everyone. It's something that's been very special about the Mania build this year. And I know a lot of people are like, I don't see what the direction is. Personally, I think that's great. I think there's so many different directions that are plausible and that are exciting. And that, for me as a fan, it's I will watch this show regardless. And I don't necessarily need to know 6 weeks out what the matches are going to be because a lot of the options sound good. And I think that is something that WWE has now that they didn't have a few years ago. Mm. And now it's like, you know, Punk just in this promo, it's like he could face Logan Paul. He could face The Rock. He could face Seth Rollins. He could face Cena, not necessarily at Mania, but all down the line, these are potential things. And I think it adds fuel to his objective of main eventing WrestleMania, which I don't think will happen this year. But just add so much more for next year's story or the year after or that kind of thing. And I think it's something that Triple H has that Vince didn't have. It's like, no, this isn't going to happen this year, but stay healthy. Don't get injured. Next year is the one. And I think eventually when we get to that CM Punk WrestleMania main event, it will mean a lot more. It was like Cody winning the title last year. It meant more than if he won it at 39. And I think Punk eventually main eventing WrestleMania will mean more. And I think there's so much fun you can have with The Rock as this character corrupting him, trying to be, hey, if you really want it, you know, you can come with me. And so I love this. I love this just pissed off Punk to kick off the show. I thought it carried on the story from Elimination Chamber in a great way, especially when we know we're not having The Rock, we're not having John Cena on this show. I thought it added a great energy to the start of Raw tonight.
Yeah, I thought this was Punk like near his best, you know, in terms of just energy and just what we expect out of a CM Punk. He had the vitriol and sort of the sharpness of a great Punk promo. You know, walked close to about, yeah, I wouldn't say this was like, you know, taboo even in the slightest, but walked up to the line to give you enough of an impression that he is a guy who says what's on his mind. Talked about Make-A-Wish, mentioned just, you know, Cena repeatedly turning his back on the kids, which the video over the course of the episode would sort of support. And again, I'm very glad we had that nostalgic, friendly reunion with Cena and Punk yesterday, because the next time these two meet, it's going to be back to 2011. You know, full of hatred between the two. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, Punk and Rollins already at a fever pitch off of the Elimination Chamber, but it just kind of continues to boil. And maybe we'll zoom ahead on the show, because they Punk and Rollins in the back run into each other again, and it results in another big pull apart. And afterwards, Adam Pearce talks to Seth Rollins. Rollins tells Pearce he's going to do to Punk the same thing he did to Reigns, so mentioning Reigns again, making sure that he doesn't go to Mania at all. He says, it's him or me. This is the hill that I'm going to die on. And Adam Pearce makes CM Punk versus Seth Rollins in a steel cage at MSG next week. So I guess my question to you, is this going to be the end of the feud, or do you see them progressing into a continued Mania program?
I think we're seeing the return of Roman Reigns next week in this feud. I don't see this being the end. I feel kind of reminiscent of... what was it? Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose from years ago, where it wasn't the direction they were going, but just the stuff they were doing on TV, it just kind of made sense. Oh, we should go this way. And I kind of feel that's how it is this year with CM Punk. I think it just makes so much more sense to continue with the Rollins feud. I feel this year, as we said earlier, there's so many big characters going on. I think you're going to have a triple threat match in there. Just, I think we're seeing it with the women as well, because you have too many big names and you can't do the singles match with all of them. So I think this makes the most sense, especially with a cage match. It's prime opportunity for a big return, a big angle. I shouldn't do the see page, that as the
do, shouldn't the cage match inspire the opposite? That
technically, but when does it? It never does. Like, it'll be a Reigns coming out and a spear through the cage, and everyone wins and everyone loses. Or it's wrestling, but. Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Davey, like the possibilities in any direction are pretty pleasing, because like every sort of interpersonal relationship feels significant, feels special enough that I'm not really concerned whatever direction they go, whether three-way or not. But I'm also curious, like, because I think so much of the great attention is on Punk and Rollins right now. How are they going to make things? Well, how are they going to reheat up Rollins and Reigns? I guess they don't really have to, because Rollins took Reigns out. That's enough for Reigns to get pissed off. But I'm very curious to see if 3-way is the direction, how they take us there.
We've got the favor from Heyman as well. We haven't capitalized on that yet. We don't know what that's about.
And I should note, at the beginning of Punk's promo, he says, people think I'm out of options just because I lost the chamber, just because I lost the Rumble, and alluded to that not necessarily being his last opportunity at a main event. So it is interesting.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming up this month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, Kate from Montreal and Karen Peterson are getting together for a review of the new film Queen of the Ring, based on the Jeff Lean book. Plus, Rewind Away tackles the 2021 film Dune, Daredevil Born Again, covered by W.H. Park and Rich Fan. Plus, we've got Collision Course, Post Pro Res, and your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Join now, postwrestlingcafe.com.
Judgment Day are in the back. They set their sights on making Raquel the IC champion. Finn brings up Dominic and Carlito getting embarrassed last week against Bron Breakker. Dom continues to ask Finn for a new member of the Judgment Day. Finn says we don't need one and that he'll deal with Bron tonight. And any guesses about what this new Judgment Day member might be leading to?
I mean, if you're telling me we ain't getting a new member, we're getting a new member. So for me, I'd say probably Aleister Black, seeing that he's someone who I imagine is coming in soon. I think he's someone that would make a big impact. He kind of fits in with the gothiness that
he fits
Judgment
in with the
Day.
Look, but he does not fit in with the tone at all. They're very much a comedic group of goths, aren't they? You know?
Well, maybe he can try something different.
Maybe Aleister Black has quite the sense of humor about him that we haven't seen yet.
But that's what I'm leaning to. Unless it's someone moving up from NXT, for me, Aleister Black kind of makes the most sense for now. Mm. And it could be to, I imagine whoever comes in is probably kicking out Finn, and Finn's going to go on a solo run, and Finn versus Aleister is something I could see.
Mm. We go to our first match here. It is Otis versus Gunther. Gunther comes out with the mic and calls Otis a people pleaser that makes a clown out of himself to entertain an audience, just like Jey Uso. They cheer for you because they pity you. I wear a title as a belt. You can't find a belt that fits. He keeps speaking as he walks to the ring just to distract Otis with a cheap shot. Excellent stuff from Gunther, I thought. Gunther is just swatting Otis in the back of the head like a total dick, but Otis grabs him, gives him a fallaway slam on the floor as we go to break. Gunther controls through the commercial. Otis comes back, gets the crowd, delivers the caterpillar for a two count. Gunther avoids the Vader bomb. Otis avoids the power bomb. Otis kicks out of a big clothesline. Gunther then tries for the power bomb once more and gets it, pinning Otis in what I thought was an entertaining little match, a different style of match for Gunther. You know, this essentially felt to me like a man trying to like lift a boulder over a fence, and I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, like Otis is a great sympathetic character, but also has the size where it's impressive enough when someone like Gunther does pick him up for a powerbomb. Obviously, no question who's going to win this match, but I thought it served its purpose and just shows with Gunther how dominant he is.
It's all really in service for the post-match, as while Gunther is about to, Tozawa is there to stop Otis or stop Gunther from, sorry, I'm just distracted because, somebody caught a pretty bad bruise here from Gunther. Sorry. Looks like maybe a bad case of Matt Bird for Gunther in this particular match. Anyway, Gunther is about to beat on Tozawa and Otis as Jey Uso comes out to save. He hits the spirit of Gunther, then holds up the belt. And as he celebrates, Waller and Theory attack him from behind. Jey gets the better of them, but the distraction allows Gunther to come back to slap on a choke and put Jey Uso to sleep. So they are continuing to heat this thing up, or at least keep this thing hot enough, you know, with the weeks to go. And I would say they're mostly finding effective ways, you know, using your supporting cast members like Alpha Academy, or in this case, Waller and Theory, to keep the two of them distracted while still building up this Gunther and Jey feud. But I will say for me, like, this week sort of felt like the time where I kind of feel like I needed a little more than just like these distractions, you know. And they have the biggest handicap maybe of all the main events on WrestleMania, because they have so much time, and time is not necessarily a good thing sometimes when you already, you know, have your main event. What did you think, Davey?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. I've liked what they've done. I thought they did a great job in the last few weeks of making this feel like a special match. I wasn't against Jey Uso winning the Rumble. I liked that surprise. I thought it added so much stakes to Elimination Chamber with him winning. But now, after everything that happened on Saturday, this feels like a very secondary program. And I don't know what more there is to do to build this up other than, you know, it's the usual, like, Gunther being the elitist. I'm better than you. You're just a clown. You're the Yeet Man. I don't know how you can tell that over 5-6 weeks with it still being interesting. Mm. Now I did read, like, I've been all into the theories on Twitter and stuff, and someone putting out there that, you know, Jey is Bloodline with The Rock, and now Cena is with The Rock, and maybe Cena deliberately threw the Rumble because from a business point of view, Jey is the top merchandise seller and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I liked that, like, little theory, but I don't think that story you can tell till way after Mania.
Cena,
but for now,
threw the Rumble to let Jey win for the better of TKO, I guess.
Yeah,
because
exactly,
of March.
Exactly. You're the hottest guy right now, so
is CM Punk. Is CM Punk also not a great merch seller, though?
I don't know. He's not doing Yeet.
Okay.
But from this point of view, this story isolated, there's 5 more weeks to go, and I don't see what more else there is to do. And it's starting to feel more like an intercontinental title feud than a world title feud.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I think what they need to be doing more of is just great talking segments. We're getting that from Gunther. We got a great one from Jey that we'll discuss a little bit later. Io versus Rhea gets a little video package here as we go to AJ Styles in the back with Kathy Kelly. Kelly gets AJ's reaction to Cena's heel turn. AJ says he didn't see it coming. He didn't see Cena selling out, but he's interrupted from behind by Karrion Kross, who comes in with a big hug from behind. Whether or not this hug was directed for him to do, if it was just a great piece of improv, I mean, whatever. I think it's hilarious either way. I don't know who had the more luscious locks here. AJ Styles, the king of beautiful hair on the men's roster, or Karrion Kross letting his hair down. Look at this. I had no idea his hair had gotten this long.
I was going to say, he found my hair straighteners from 2008. Karrion Kross hair, like, very silky, very smooth, very straight.
This is a great shampoo commercial right here.
Yeah. WrestleMania 18, check out our review. Brayden and I reviewed it last week on the Poison Rana Patreon. There's a whole match over a hair shampoo commercial. Maybe we could recreate that this year.
Ooh, I was there for that one. Yes. Cross says AJ should know how frustrating it is when a new generation doesn't respect them and brings up Logan Paul disrespecting AJ. AJ says he's not Cena and wants to remind the WWE who he is, as he's going to call Logan Paul out at MSG next week. AJ also says, God knows my evil ways, as Cross says that was easy. So Karrion Kross has, I would say, found a really great role for himself. One that, like, these writers are clearly happy to utilize very frequently. He's not somebody who's actually looking to start feuds with anybody. I don't think he's going to be wrestling anybody. He's not going to wrestle AJ. He just kind of moves on from person to person whenever the writers need a device to, I guess, successfully motivate these baby faces to show a bit of aggression. Like he's done with New Day, like he's done with Sammy. None of those have, well, I guess with New Day it did result in a match, but no real follow-up program, I suppose. Sammy had those interactions, and then that didn't result in anything. And I don't expect the same for AJ Styles either here.
It's a weird one, because I'm not a big fan of Karrion Kross. I can't say he particularly excites me in ring. But on the other hand, I can't deny he's been very entertaining in these segments, and I think he's been maximizing his minutes very well in these, yeah, you know, 90-second segments backstage. Unfortunately, I think we're going towards a multi-man for the IC title. I thought we were getting AJ and Braun, but now you seem to have Finn in the mix. There's kind of, I don't see where Sammy is ending up on this show, but he's been having his thing with Karrion Kross. So I think that's what they're starting to set up here with them all, which, it's a way to get them all on the card, but I can't say I'm particularly excited about a multi-man. I think I'd rather pick just two guys to go against each other.
Yeah. I could see that direction. I'd also be very happy with an AJ Logan Paul match, which I think, you know, we'll like AJ wrestling at WrestleMania, I think still feels like it's a big match. We're talking about babyface AJ right now, who is, I think, very much like set on just like being the sort of like in-ring like spectacle, you know, that I think a WrestleMania might demand. And that coupled with the Logan Paul, like, has my excitement. That doesn't require sort of like, you know, muddying with really anybody else. The Bron Breakker thing, I'm trying to think back, like, what was the last time they hinted at it? Like, has that been
last week?
Did they actually do something last week already?
Yeah, wow. Remember the t-shirt.
You're right. The t-shirt catch that I was so impressed by. You're right. So yeah, maybe that is the direction. So more on this, of course, next week. Our next match is the women's IC title match with Lyra Valkyria versus Ivy Nile. Lyra is pretty pissed off about those weekly attacks, so she starts things off very hot here. Before the break, Nile catches a dragon screw and attacks Lyra's leg through the commercial. Lyra hits a gut wrench powerbomb but can't cover due to the bad leg. Nile comes back with a nice vertical suplex after catching Nile off of a tornado DDT attempt. Lyra goes for Nightwing, but the twist makes her leg buckle. As Nile applies the ankle lock, Lyra gets the rope. Nile then misses a big boot, but Lyra takes advantage, toughs it out to hit the Nightwing to get the victory in. I thought a very good match, great chemistry in ring between these two. Nile looked awesome, good selling from Lyra, but the match had no heat to it at all, in my opinion.
I feel this has been the case with Lyra Valkyria and this IC title run, and I'd say maybe that's okay. I think this is a long-term project, this title in general. I think that they're trying to establish this IC title like the men's IC title used to be, as the workhorse title. And that's not necessarily going to get you over overnight. You've got Chelsea Green with the US title, which is very much character-driven title. Lyra, I've liked from watching her in NXT. I think she's great in ring, but she doesn't necessarily always connect with me as a character. And I'd say the same with Ivy Nile. I think this is, I'd say this is Ivy Nile's best match she's had in WWE, because she hasn't had that many opportunities. She's been in tags, or she's, when I was watching her on NXT, she'd have 3-minute matches where she'd do some impressive stuff, but it's never been a full match. And she got one here, and I thought the work here was good. And I think they're just trying. You know, you've got time now, Raw being 2.5 hours, where you can do this, these kind of matches every week. in hopes that eventually people are going to start like getting involved. I'd say very similar to what Machine Guns are doing on SmackDown, mm-hmm. where I think over time their work hopefully will get them over because their personalities aren't necessarily doing that. And for now, like, you know, middle of the show on a Raw, I'm okay with that. But there is a connection point of view as well where it's Lyra especially has to find something down the line more so than the wrestling. But as an isolated match, I like it. I appreciate this kind of thing. And, you know, we've got so many women in NXT who'd be great in this division as well. And if you can just establish this title as just great matches with the women, it's, we can maybe try and think about character and stuff beyond that if you want to move up to the other title.
I think they could do more, like right now. I think they could give her, even though she's not the greatest talker, I think they can craft stories around her to make her feel a little bit more sympathetic, at the very least giving her a bit more airtime to show the personality that's inside. I think that ultimately is one of the biggest problems, the fact that they're not really providing that sort of, like, you know, support through an interesting storyline, or maybe just even a great heel to inspire that out of her. Eventually, just maybe through like a consistent in-ring run, she might gain that sort of like popularity. But I don't know if you can afford that sort of time these days, especially with the talent that's about to be called up in the women's division, right? With her, with Lyra Valkyria, I feel like the template is when somebody feels like a bit of a generic babyface, turn them heel to let their personality come out. I could see them just waiting for that moment, maybe after a WrestleMania, or like maybe a long enough run where maybe she eventually loses a championship, then turns heel and maybe gives us a bit more of a sort of unlocking of a personality. But in the meantime, I think they could do better with these TV appearances, as good as these matches are. I just think, you know, the crowd engagement isn't there quite yet.
Yeah, I wonder if a Becky Lynch would help bring that out. Like, if and when she comes back, you do have that history, obviously, to Irish girls, but also their NXT history where it was Lyra that beat Becky for the title. And I think if you want to try and drag some personality out of Lyra, Becky would be perfect for that. Mm.
Up next, we got Ludwig Kaiser coming out, who says last week he took the attention from Penta he's deserved this whole time. Tells Penta that after he's done with him, he'll know what fear feels like. So Penta comes out, delivers a big Rana, goes for the Penta driver, but Kaiser escapes and ends with a big dive to Kaiser on the floor. So they are continuing that program that may not make its way to a bigger PLE coming up. Kathy Kelly is with Bianca Belair as Belair is asked about Jade's attack on Naomi. Belair says she doesn't want to talk about it until she gets to talk to them both. She feels guilty because she's both sad about her friends, but proud about her chamber win, and looks ahead to the winner of the main event tonight. For some reason, Natalia and Maxine were in the background talking to each other, so that might lead to something, or it may not. Comments?
Yeah, Bianca's been in an awkward position because there was a huge story moment for her. You know, she's crying in the chamber, and then she kind of wins it, and even in the sort of press conference after, she's like, I'm happy to win. I don't need to think about that right now. I wonder if with that, I mean, obviously there's still more to this story. I still wonder if it's Bianca who attacked Jade and Jade mm-hmm. got it wrong in attacking Naomi. And especially with the title change at the end of the show, whether we have Bianca revealed as the heel, I don't know. She's in an awkward position because she's telling two stories at the same time. And she should be like, she should really just be selling the devastation of Naomi getting attacked by Jade, but she's got to focus on, you know, a bigger thing, which is the WrestleMania main event. So it's kind of murky for Bianca right now.
I feel like all those things will eventually like meet at a satisfying point. I don't think they're putting Bianca here like without any reason. I have to imagine, especially against like who she's up against potentially for WrestleMania, she's going to be turning heel, in my opinion. And I think it'll probably make sense and hopefully elevate Jade Cargill and maybe even Naomi up to that higher level, just to kind of like get everybody in this mix. So I'm interested to see the way they're playing it. I've been really enjoying Naomi and Bianca in this sort of like faux way. Like we know exactly who did it, and we're very just like motivated to like, you know, give Liv and Raquel their revenge. And man, if you go on social media, they put a solo camera of Bianca Belair's reaction from within the chamber as she was watching Jade and Naomi like with that beatdown. It's great. I thought her performance in the chamber itself,
she's incredible.
Was fantastic. So I mean, if this all turns out well, and if it's a heel run for Belair, I'm very excited to see what that might look like for her.
Honestly, I'm just glad she's back in the main event mix. For me, she had a couple of WrestleManias in a row where she was becoming Mrs. WrestleMania. You know, the Sasha match, the Becky match as well. And as it's been fun seeing her in a tag match, but I'm so glad to have her back in the singles division, because I think she's one of your top female stars, and I'm just happy to see him back in that role with a bit more to play with.
So we catch up with Chad Gable. Presumably, I believe he would be in Mexico here. We're actually getting these like very well shot, well edited vignettes. He's walking around asking people if they know the person on this piece of paper that I believe he was handed by from Dominic Mysterio. And eventually he runs into a wrinkly man that we don't really see the face of, who tells him that he must become Lucha in order to fight it. And so after an exchange of money, he hands him a box, and Gable opens the box and does the Pulp Fiction marveling at
what's in the box.
What's in the box? Promising power beyond his understanding. So with the line, you must become Lucha in order to fight it, I'm assuming it's some form of a mask. You know, what else really could it be? And if so, does it mean that like this like, what is it, supposed master of the dark Lucha arts, like were we actually ever supposed to get a reveal of a person, potentially a wrestler, or was it just supposed to be a device to get us to Gable wearing a Lucha mask?
I mean, I think there could have been something where, is this a way to get Phoenix involved? Maybe. Like,
they wouldn't have known that he'd be available by now, would they?
I don't know. Gable's been off TV for like a month with these dark Lucha things, and today
Kalisto is the master.
I don't know. I feel sometimes wrestling creates stories and they wait to see what the finish could be, you know, and maybe this is a way to get Phoenix involved. Or is it just Conan giving him a mask? I don't know.
Conan, that's who it looked like to you?
I mean, not this guy, but I don't know. I feel that they kind of hinted at it being someone. So I'd be surprised if he's just gone away for a month to just bring back a mask. Although Gable in a mask could be kind of fun. But I felt like it was gearing towards a debut of someone.
I did
or
too.
Or return of
someone. Maybe at one point it was, well, we'll find out. Maybe too early to say. But I mean, they showed this wrinkly man's face, unless it's supposed to be like an Eric Bischoff, you know, Reverend, you know, mask or something, then I don't know if that was supposed to be it. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling. So we go to our matchup next here. It's the War Raiders taking on the Creeds. Brutus, just out of nowhere, pulls out a 450 splash. Not the cleanest of landings, but very impressive nonetheless. American Maid start going for this like superplex moonsault combo, but Brutus misses. Ivar then goes for his moonsault, and Brutus avoids that one. Then Julius goes up top and hits a shooting star press. And to that, we get a kick out. I thought, I mean, to my knowledge, the first time I've seen him do a shooting star press, unless you've seen otherwise, Davey.
I feel he's pulled it out on NXT before, yeah.
Very impressive here. So now the crowd really gets into the match. Brutus Ball misses. Ivar crossbodies Julius into the boards, and the War Machine gives the War Raiders the win. And what I felt was somewhat similar to the IC title match, majority of the match to me didn't necessarily have that sort of like sustained reaction that I think you'd expect. But by the time they did all of those high spots, the crowd definitely got into it. What did you think, Davey, about the match?
Every time I watch, especially on Raw, the tag division, I just wish they never split these titles, because we've got these two teams in what? The New Day. And that's it on Raw. And I think both these teams are great. I think War Raiders had such an uphill battle to face from all the goofy shit they were doing, the turkey legs, the basketball. I think they are getting there. I think Ivar's singles run last year really, really helped actually have a bit more respect for this team. And the Creeds, Julius Creed especially, I personally see a world title run in this guy. I think he's capable of it. I think his conditioning is impeccable, and he just does some really cool shit. Like that shooting star, his strength, like how he can lift up some of these guys is incredible. I've been a big fan of them since NXT. I don't think they've quite captured there's something kind of, I don't know, you said about Brutus's 450, how it wasn't perfect, but I kind of love that about them. I kind of love how unclean some of their moves are, but it looks devastating. It's exciting, and that it reminds me of Brock. Like, Brock was like that. Some of the stuff he'd do wouldn't look particularly pretty, but it would look devastating and impressive. And I'd like to see them move away, especially Brutus. I think he's incredibly goofy off, like in backstage segments, and it diminishes this act. But as two tag teams, I thought this was a really fun match. I think if you had these two teams with DIY, with Machine Guns, with New Day, with all them fighting for one set of tag titles, it could reach the peak it did when you had, you know, Owens and Zayn main event in WrestleMania against the Usos. They all feel so secondary now. And it feels the whole tag division feels so mid to low card. And I think some of these acts are better than that.
We hear from the LWO, who cut a promo on the New Day. Rey Mysterio is back. He says next week, Rey and Dragon are going to face them in a tornado tag match, which means no tags, no DQ, and that is it. So one of the matches announced next week for Madison Square Garden. We hear from Finn Balor and Bron Breakker. They start cutting promos to one another. Balor says that he chews rookies like him for breakfast, and he can win the title from him anytime he wants. Braun starts to come down the ramp to confront him right into Judgment Day's trap, but Braun takes care of Carlito and Dom. He ends up military pressing Balor, but Dom saves Balor from a spear. However, Carlito takes it instead. So as Davey had mentioned, it seems like we're getting Balor and Braun before Braun and AJ.
I think so. Yeah, I think we're getting all of them. I could see Logan in this. I could see Sammy potentially. I could see Karrion Kross. I don't know. It's not the route I'd go. I think Bron Breakker especially, he is someone who should be having a big singles match at WrestleMania, because he could be a world champion contender at WrestleMania 42. You know, he's at that level, and he is someone you should be pushing. And I don't like the idea of a multi-man. I think the AJ Bron match is way more exciting for me, but I don't think that's the way they're going.
We go to the back where, well, first of all, next week at Madison Square Garden, it's Jey Uso versus Grayson Waller, Dragon Lee and New Day in a tornado tag match with Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio, I should say. AJ calls out Logan Paul, so that doesn't appear to be a match, but just a call out. And then we have Seth Rollins and CM Punk in a steel cage. So we go to the back as Otis thanks Jay for helping him out. And Kathy asks Jey Uso if Gunther choking him is throwing him off his game. And Jay puts his bags down and starts cutting a fired up promo. He says it bothers him a little bit. Every week that goes by, Gunther has him doubting himself. But nobody will pick himself up but him. If Gunther's going to give him 10 weeks of hell, he's going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and at Mania, he's crashing out. He says he just woke up a beast as he walks out into the Buffalo winter without a shirt on. Wow.
I love Jackie Redmond here. She's like, oh, and he's going outside without a shirt on. It's cold out.
Buffalo is very close to Toronto, of course, and I'm assuming they have very much the same weather as we do. I wouldn't even sit in my basement without two layers and a sweater on and a space heater on. And this guy is crazy.
Yeah. Jay's just... Oh, it was Kathy here. Apologies, Rob McDonald. Yes. I think Jay's been great. I completely think he deserves the spot he's in right now. His promos have come along a long way. I think he's captivating. It's the question's going to be the match at the end of the day. I thought he had a good match with Gunther at Saturday night's main event. I think he does it. If the whole match could be like the last 4 minutes of that match was, it could be quite special, but I don't have a problem with him on mic and in the build. I think the question is what are the other wrinkles of this story going to be? Because there's still many weeks to go. But I liked his promo here.
I think he's really found his voice and his confidence as a solo speaker. I think that certainly maybe took a little bit of time, but didn't take that much time. And now, like, I would say he's got a promo style that actually tonight was very like Mark Briscoe, like, had sort of that ramping up intensity, kind of like wild. And that's all to say that it was very good. And I think, like, as a potential solo stars champion, like, I could see him being a capable promo to be worthy of that. I like the fact that he's introducing this sort of like self-doubt, storyline, especially in contrast to Gunther. I think Jay is able to embody that sort of worry in a really genuine way at the start of these sort of promos. So he does also a great job of motivating himself through just kind of self-talk. So I'm enjoying them so far. Then we go to our main event here. For the World Championship, it is Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky. Their first match together since NXT in 2020. Rhea has never beaten Io Sky. And we've got Bianca Belair watching ringside. I thought things started off very messy here. These two, Io going for a crucifix, and then maybe not being in the best of positions. Io then goes for a Rana. Rhea catches her, but loses her balance and falls over. After a commercial break, Rhea starts favoring her hand and her wrist. Actually, during her commercial break, she was favoring her hand and her wrist. They fight on the apron as Io arm drags Rhea onto the apron, again targeting the arm. Io does a Dakota Kai corner kick. Then she does the insane elbow, followed by the ass clock. So all damage control members getting a little shout out here. Rhea Ripley is on the apron as Io sunset flips her into a buckle bomb onto the barricade. Over the moonsault is delivered to Rhea's back, but Rhea gets her foot on the rope. Rhea then electric chairs Io onto the desk and tries to win by countout. As Io makes it back into the ring, Belair is cheering for her, and this somehow angers Rhea to the point where she exits the ring, shoves Bianca Belair for suggesting that maybe she doesn't want to face her at WrestleMania, and they start shoving each other. Belair puts her hands on Rhea, but the referee keeps the match going, which is, sort of a slightly unusual to see in modern professional wrestling, somebody putting their hands on somebody else in front of the ref, but ref deciding not to call it. Then Rhea hoists Io up onto the second rope for a riptide. She almost loses her, but regains her and says to Belair on the outside, "See you at Mania, Bianca." As Io counters her with a Rana over the moonsault, Io Sky wins the Women's World Championship as we get a title change here on Raw. The show goes off air with Rhea yelling at herself on the outside, calling herself stupid, calling Bianca a bitch. So we got a title change here, Davey. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't think it was the smoothest match between the two. I think both are capable of a lot better. I think we've seen better from both. From a storyline point of view, I like it. I like Io a lot, and this was one of the matches for Mania where I do see it being a triple threat. I've thought that for a while. I saw it being more the direction where EO's kind of maybe screwed out winning and therefore gets inserted. I didn't see a title change happening tonight, and I kind of liked that. That being said, I think Rhea versus Bianca is such a huge match you can do, and they've been kept apart for their entire main event run. I think there was a Raw after Mania 2 years ago where they kind of, I think both were champions and they stood face to face and had that moment. And to have that be, not, I assume it's a triple threat. Like I assume Rhea is involved in this program. I don't necessarily see it being EO versus Bianca. I do think it's a triple threat. I do think it makes it less than. But it's one of those problems when you've got all these talents. Like, I think EO should be in a big match as well. Like, she was in the women's title match against Bayley last year. So it's difficult. It does feel like the lesser match. I'm, as an EO Sky fan, I was happy to see a win. But I just think I felt this has been the case for many years with especially WrestleMania, where the women's matches, it will be good. It will be great on the night. Like, I think back to Sasha Bianca Belair, which was a fucking terrible build. And it's one of my favorite WrestleMania matches and moments. Like, that match, I adore. And I kind of feel we're going the same way this time, where I just think Bianca versus Rhea, just do it. So yeah. I feel conflicted because I like all three. I want to see all three at WrestleMania in a big match. But yeah, I don't necessarily like this.
Yeah, I thought I'd kind of like maybe an interesting like direction already mapped out, especially with like the Bianca Belair potential attachment to Jade Cargill and Naomi storyline, like kind of, you know, potentially cleanly making Belair a heel. Now you're throwing Io Sky into the mix, potentially with Rhea Ripley as well. And it just, it's certainly hard for me to predict. That doesn't mean it's bad. I just can't really tell where it's going from this point on. And we await to see, you know, exactly how it might unfold. But this certainly, maybe muddies the feud. But again, we haven't really seen the storytelling. We haven't seen how they're going to maybe heat things up between, we're assuming three-way. That might not even be possible too. So this is certainly like a bit of a curveball. Going back to the match itself, I thought it was a bit of a rough night for Rhea, to the point where like I'm wondering if like at some point she got hurt, because this didn't really look like her in many spots. But I kind of like the booking here. You know, for one thing, it's a surprise, which I think, you know, when done right, it is always good. It also maintains the streak of EO beating Bianca Belair. That's something that they are keeping up and will potentially maybe make that the one person that Rhea Ripley will never be able to beat, which I think is really cool. But yeah, we await to see like how this unfolds, whether or not a Jade Cargill and Naomi will somehow be folded into this. And I was a little bit surprised at like Rhea being so heelish here towards the end, like her just suddenly dropping the match to yell at Bianca Belair for what, supporting Io Sky, feels very uncharacteristic and feels a lot more heelish to me. Even her actions at the, like pausing at the end as she's about to do the Riptide to yell at Bianca Belair felt uncharacteristic. Her being on the floor sort of complaining, whining, calling herself stupid does not also feel like the Rhea Ripley that we've been seeing lately.
No. And it was, yeah, it felt uncharacteristic. But I guess a way to protect her in this loss against EO. I felt very mixed about this. I'm very happy. Like, I liked EO winning this. And I love the idea, as you said, Rhea's never beaten the EO. I don't think EO's ever beaten Bianca. Coming, if this is a triple threat at Mania, if you have Bianca
rock paper scissors,
if you have Bianca beat EO, you've still got those singles matches where this person hasn't pinned this person hasn't pinned this person, so you do save those singles matches. But there's something special about the first time these people interact being a singles match, being a one-on-one. So I'm very much like, let's see where it goes. I'm sure these three will if it is the triple threat, have a great match. But I
sorry to correct you, but Io did beat Bianca in September this year.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that, but
I'm sure they will. If they do go the three-way yeah. route, maybe they'll come up with some other. They've had a lot of matches together. Wow, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I remember they had that. They had one abroad, I think. One in, was it France or Germany or something like that? They had a big match, which mm-hmm. was, yeah.
All right. So what did you think about this edition of Raw, Davey?
You know what? I thought it was much better than the June 11th, 2018 edition of Raw that I reviewed with you last time. And yeah, I enjoy, like, this is the best season to be a wrestling fan. I love coming out. I don't need all the answers every week. I love being able to come out and theorize and think where things are going. I watch my TV that way. That's what I love about TV dramas. I like finishing a show and going, oh, what's going to happen next? And I was getting more than that. Obviously holding off on the Cena thing, that's the big thing. And I think that's okay. They can tease that for a few weeks until they...
I would think MSG would be one of his appearances. Yeah. You know, they did not announce that on this particular episode, but maybe they'll announce it on Friday, because that's when they said we'll hear from Cody next. So,
yeah,
well, we shall see. Yeah, I'll definitely say coming off of Chamber, they did not, like, take it easy on this edition of Raw. Like, you know, two of the three title matches that they advertised weren't necessarily, like, the most anticipated, but they were, like, title matches nonetheless. But they gave you a title change, you know, in the main event here, which I thought was a very significant, like, non-missable event if you're trying to follow WrestleMania. This, in between Chamber and also the MSG show next week, makes this feel like a really, like, continued hot streak for the WWE that they're manufacturing. And I'm sure it'll be very successful. I mean, they sold out, you know, tonight. I'm sure they'll, I mean, continue to do so for the next weeks. So, and thank you, Davey Portman, for joining us on this edition of Rewind to Raw. I thought you offered some great insight. I love hearing your thoughts on Up Next. And of course, we look forward to that tomorrow night, as well as Poison Rana on the weekend.
Thank you very much. No Poison Rana this weekend because of Revolution. So, you know, we don't want to date ourselves right away. But yeah, we'll be giving our thoughts the Tuesday after about Revolution. But yeah, you can find me tomorrow night on this very feed. We'll be talking about the go home show to NXT, sorry, just WWE Roadblock these days, but which looks like a great show. The TNA crossover, NXT is quite an exciting product to watch right now. I enjoy it. I've been enjoying Raw a lot as well. I'm really happy you asked me on. I Raw is one of my favorite shows to watch at the moment. I just think it's exciting, and tonight I thought breezed by. And yeah, you can, if you want to hear more from us, you can follow our Patreon, patreon.com/poisonrana. We've been doing our John Cena retrospective, where we've gone through every single title reign of John Cena. We get a different guest on for each show. We're up to reign number 7, which features the Iron Man match between Randy Orton and John Cena. In our last show, we just talked about the Hell in a Cell and the I Quit match. It's been a fun thing. Our aim is to go through every single title reign until John Cena's retirement. And hot off the Oscars from last night, we are going to be reviewing Anora this Wednesday. The best picture, best actress, best screenplay. Wait, have you seen Anora yet?
I have not. I'm
You've
gonna,
not seen Anora?
Yeah, I'm going to get through Dodgeball first. And then, right. I'll get to Anora next.
But really great film. Really excited to talk about this one, Braden. We love our movies, so we talk about a lot of movies. We just did our Godfather Part 2, which was one of those films that neither of us had ever seen, which we always got that. You've never seen Godfather Part 2? We finally ticked it off our list. We've got a bunch of old wrestling reviews on there. We review old NXT. We're right through to NXT 2014. We're building up to the first ever TakeOver. Right now, it's only $5, and we've got over 500 shows you can go back and enjoy.
If $6 is the best $6 you could spend in the Post Wrestling Cafe, $5 is the best $5 you could spend at patreon.com/poisonrana. These two work incredibly hard to deliver your value, and they give a lot of love to their patrons. So support our friends and get yourself some great audio content to fill your days with. So thank you very much, Davey, for that. Those are our thoughts on tonight's edition of Raw. We're going to go in the Post Wrestling Cafe to hear from some of our patrons for their thoughts as we discuss and take some other questions. So if you're listening to this again, thank you for, please like and subscribe, follow us on sort of all of our socials at Post Wrestling, and talk to you guys later. Those of you in the cafe, stick around.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.